SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
तपाईं SBS नेपालीको साथमा हुनुहुन्छ।
SBS नेपाली SBS साउथ एशियनमा।
गत अगस्त 15 मेलबर्नमा भारतीय चलचित्र महोत्सव इण्डियन फिल्म फेस्टिभल अफ मेलबर्न आईएफएफएमको 15 संस्करण चलिरहेको छ। 20 महिला निर्देशकहरूको काम हेर्न पाइने र अगस्त 25 चल्ने यो महोत्सवमा नेपाली सहित 26 विभिन्न भाषाका 65 भन्दा बढी चलचित्रहरू राज्यभरका विभिन्न सिनेमा घरहरूका साथै आईएफएफएमको वेबसाइट मार्फत अनलाइनमा प्रदर्शन भइरहेका छन्। महोत्सवमा समावेश भएको अनि दुई विभिन्न चलचित्र महोत्सवहरूमा पुरस्कार जित्न सफल नेपाली र हिन्दी दुवै भाषामा उपलब्ध रहेको चलचित्र बहादुर द ब्रेभ कि निर्देशक दिवा शाहले एसबीएस नेपालीसँग गरेको कुराकानी सुनौ। यो पोडकास्ट तपाईँले ससाना बालबालिकासँगै सुन्दै हुनुहुन्छ भने चाहिँ शुरूतिर उहाँहरूको कान थुनिदिनुहोला है। प्रस्तुत सामग्रीमा सिनेमाका केही डायलगहरू समावेश छन् जसमा केही अपशब्दहरूको प्रयोग भएको छ।
SBS South Asian.
होइन होइन, सबैले 600 दिउ नै।
600 चाहिँ किन दिने फेरि?
200 त जसले पनि दिनुहोस् नि त। अरे
म चाहिँ किन दिनु 200?
अरे बाबु, दारू त मैले पाएको हो नि त पहिला।
हट मुजी,
के याद छैन यार, के हाल्ने
मेरो भालो
खतम दाजु
हाल हाल आउँछु एकचाल हाल हाल।
I mean, I hail from a town called Nainital and I mean, since childhood, I've been here and I mean, I'd never wanted to be a filmmaker. I never actively pursued filmmaking, but it so happened. It was a coincidence. But yeah, mostly even in childhood, I'd been inclined towards theater. I was doing a lot of theater back in school and I remember loving the stage a lot. But earlier it was mostly acting, it was mostly being in front of the stage, being in front of the camera. And when I went to Delhi University, I remember just focusing on the street theatre circuit there. So we were very active, like we took up political issues, it was a group of 21 people, we wrote plays, we directed them, we acted in them. So I think that's when I knew that this is going to be a part of me, but I think I had my apprehensions about filmmaking and the industry up here. Also because my parents had pursued filmmaking and they had come back to the state and started teaching it. So they had a very different journey and they were never quite in the spotlight. And I mean, it was not as nice as we would assume it would be. So I think that's where my apprehension came from. But after college, I thought like I have an academic bent, I should continue creative writing, maybe do a master's and then I'll do a PhD. But it never happened. I did my master's. I was supposed to go back to the UK for a PhD, but then COVID happened. I started watching a lot of films and then one thing led to another. And I went to a set, I was writing and there were these few friends of mine who wanted to shoot. They had equipments. They said, do you know how to write a screenplay? I said, I know how to write, but I can always Google it. So I just Googled how to write a screenplay. And that's how I wrote a script for them, which never took place because then they didn't have enough money. But that's how I got really pulled towards it.
Tell us something about the movie itself. Like, how did it come about?
So, I'll tell you where the inspiration came from. So it was COVID. I was supposed to go back for PhD. I was at home. And there was a news article in the papers that all the Nepalese migrants were being sent back home. All these people were being packed into a truck and being sent back home. And that's when a Nepalese migrant porter, and I remember when the lockdown had started easing up, there was a porter who'd come to our place one day. And he was hilarious, just the way he was. You know, I remember there was so much fear around COVID, you know, like washing hands, is he wearing gloves, how are we going to figure this out? And I'm like bargaining with my mother with so much strength. And he was just charging exuberant prices, and that was because there were no other Nepalese migrant laborers in the town. So this job nobody else could do, and he knew it very well. But he had his quirks, and you know, the characteristic, he wouldn't understand Hindi. Sometimes he would do exactly the opposite of what you'd asked him to do. But there was so much innocence to him, you know, and I remember asking him, because I was home, I was back at my parents' place. So, and COVID was a time where I think everybody flew back, everybody was going back to their hometown, going back to be with their loved ones, especially once the lockdown had started easing up. And I said, you know, you must be alone, everybody must have left and everybody must be home. And he didn't say anything, but as I saw him walking down, he looked so lonely to me. And I realized that said a lot more than, you know, anything I'd ever seen. And yeah, that's how I got inspired to do the research. And once I started researching, I realized COVID was a huge issue at the time for them. And around them, a lot of stories could be woven. But even when I went to the ghettos, you know, these ghettos were really dark, but not dark in a literal way, in a very metaphorical way too, because even when we would light up two phone torches, we couldn't see anything.
Tell us about the journey. Like, you mentioned that you were an accidental movie maker, and now you've you are now an award-winning movie maker as well. And it's very male-oriented with the casting. And you being from a very different background to those that are portrayed in the cinema, what were the challenges that you had to overcome during the shooting and in the post?
I think the biggest challenge with independent filmmaking is that there is no infrastructure in India. So, you know, there is no budget, there is no money. If you're not, like, there are small scale films being made, but these are being made by big time directors who are already famous, who are already known. So if you're starting off and for a first film, you're making a film like this, it's doubly hard because, you know, the producers, these are independent producers who are just putting all that they can. And in that budget to figure out salaries, to figure out, you know, payments, to figure out permissions, like we didn't get permission at the Dharchula border. Also, it was a sensitive zone, but it gets very complicated, just like, you know, getting the shoot done. I think it gets heavy and there are different challenges every day. But then we had to come up with another location. And sometimes, you know, you restrict yourself because of money, because you don't have the resources. So you have to make use of whatever you have. You can't have 100, 200 juniors. So you have to do something, like, you know, sometimes you have to just catch hold of people, lock them in a truck so that they don't leave. Otherwise, you know, you don't have the budget to be like paying all juniors or calling them, or in a village where you would find juniors. So these are really, the main complication, I would say it's very difficult because there is never enough money. And, you know, post-production is expensive. But thanks to, you know, NFDC Film Bazaar, we were given the Prasad Lab DI Award, and through which we could finish our color grading. Otherwise, most of the independent films, they run out of funds like we do, because you have a sufficient budget. And in that sufficient budget, sometimes you're just able to shoot the film. And after that, you're clueless about what to do with it.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
SBS South Asia. Your news from here and hits from home.
The interesting thing I found out about the movie was also, you say you don't speak Nepali, but you must understand some of the Nepali, because the characters do speak a lot of Nepali in the movie.
Yeah.
And it is in Hindi and Nepali and Kumaoni, that's the language. So in the local dialect as well. So what are the challenges? Because it's very multi-dimensional when you have different languages, and especially there must be some other underlying challenges when talking to the characters. And how did you make sure that they were speaking as you wanted?
It is quite challenging when it's not your native tongue because you are never that fluent with it. But funnily enough, you spend so much time that I had started understanding Nepali. Nepali is also a little similar to Kumaoni, but it's very difficult because you have to do dialogues, you know, you have to translate dialogues, and you never know if this is sounding authentic or not, or would like a person from this place in Nepal speak like this, because it has to be true to a Nepali person also. If like a person from Nepal watches it and he's like, oh my God, I would never say something like that, then it makes no sense. So you know, in terms of that, you can't just translate it blatantly. I think and kudos to all the people who keep joining. There was, you know, first I got the script translated from this boy who was studying here in St. Joseph's. Then Rupesh and Rahul themselves, who play Hansi and Dil Bahadur, they came up with their own dialects and they came up with their own accents because they were spending so much time with the Nepalese migrant porters up here in Nainital. So once they realized this is the kind of dialect we would go for, they themselves, you know, because they knew the crux of what the dialogue meant, they themselves then translated and, you know, made the dialogue according to their needs.
Like, there must be so many interesting things that happened during the journey of filmmaking, especially with this. What was one thing that will stick with you for the rest of your life, or probably for, you know, some considerable amount of time, that, oh my God, that actually happened, or something interesting happened during the shoot? Would you like to share with our audience?
I mean, a lot of it, because every day was like going to war. And I think it's pretty much how filmmaking is. But you know, there were bizarre moments. Even the prep, it was very interesting because we'd never done something like this. And with like, suppose what we'd do is we'd worn costumes, and our costume stylist Komal came up with this idea. She said that, you know, we're going to trade the clothes, and then with the traded clothes, she's going to get them clean, dry cleaned, and all of that, so that they are made proper for the actors to wear. So we would have this literal fair where, you know, the migrants, the porters would come every day. And sometimes the rehearsals were very funny because, you know, some people were just there for the alcohol. You know, they wouldn't sit with you and practice because there are a lot of non-actors amongst the juniors. They wouldn't sit with you and do the lines until unless you tempt them with the idea that they would get like a bottle of alcohol by the end of the day if they do their lines. And I remember we had these terrific 3-4 porters who would come every day, make us laugh, tell us stories, and even do the lines. And then sometimes, you know, they would call us up again and say that, you know, we're doing this Hindi film, Bollywood, we need more money. Every day they take alcohol bottles. And 3 days they came and then they vanished. We didn't know where they had gone. See, the instance like that, sometimes, you know, people would come for the drinks, or sometimes, you know, the way the exhibition would be held, people would be coming and very innocently, you know, give their clothes. I think the most thing was that Rahul and Rupesh, we told them to live with them, as in spend a lot of time with them. And sometimes, you know, we'd be doing our prep work and they would actually be earning money because, you know, Rupesh had earned, I think, 800 or 1,000 rupees a day because he was doing all of that work. So, you know, we'd see them. And sometimes there was this shopkeeper who'd come up to us and he'd complain about these people. He'd say, you know, up in, like in Hindi, he would say, you're spoiling them rotten, you know. They'll be so spoiled, and see, they charge so much, they should be charging less and all of that, not knowing that they're actors. So all this buffoonery that was happening around the prep was also so much fun, but a lot of it, a lot of moments that were like unforgettable, the kind of film it was and, you know, how we came together.
And tell us something about how the movie came to be the part of Indian Film Festival here in Melbourne.
So I'll tell you, like, initially when we started, when we made the film, we knew that we wanted to be like around, we wanted it to travel because it's so hard, you know that it just to for an independent film to get a release up here in the theaters. So we knew that we wanted to do cover a lot of festivals here, and I think Melbourne was the right platform for, you know, because we obviously wanted to target as many Indian diaspora audiences that we could. Not just Indian diaspora, like it had its premiere at Sanseb, and we didn't know that people would like it so much, but there were just houseful shows, and it was so gratifying to see everybody enjoying the film so much. So that's how it came to being. Like, we had consciously wanted it to travel as much as it can, and travel far and wide and wherever it could.
And why should, like, if somebody is listening to our interview and then have heard about the movie for the first time, why should they go and watch this movie? What's in it for them to watch?
You know, because I think why they should watch this film, because these are things that you've seen around us. You know, sometimes you see a very fabricated reality in front of you, which you're constantly pinching yourself and telling yourself, oh my God, this is not how they speak. This is not how it is. And there are nuances that are that in the film. These nuances are around you. Migrants are around you. You know, people abroad could relate because they know that they have migrants too. So, you know, it's for the beauty of that. It's a film about human emotions. It's about friendship. When you say it's about two Nepalese migrant porters, you think, oh, it's a political film or it's about two people. But when you get to the core of it, it's about two friends. You know, it's about what they feel for each other. It's about brotherhood. It's much more than, you know, just a film about porters or the COVID pandemic. So, you know, everybody wants to watch an authentic human story. And I think that's in its core what Bahadur is. And so everybody should watch it, you know, at least because it's made with so much hard work. Every film is.
SBS South Asian.
Your news from here.
And hits from home.
And so, yeah, for yourself personally, what did you learn more about Nepali people that you didn't before making the movie?
So, you know, we are so familiar because I'm a Kumaoni. And in our family tree as well, like there was a part of my daddy's family where they would marry Nepali people, Nepali princesses back in the day. So, you know, the influence was a lot. I grew up around a lot of Nepalis, you know, right from childhood, I'd seen them. So there was nothing new. I'd also been to Nepal. I got to know like that the language differs. The dialect is so specific. Like once somebody comes from Darjeeling and he's speaking Nepali and you know exactly that, oh my God, this person is from. So I think the whole knowledge about like the dialects, the way they speak or that got a little more clear.
And where next from here? Because now you've done the movie, it's won an award, it's going traveling world, you know, and then, as you said, you never planned to be a movie maker and you're now a director and a very small pool of female directors as well. We have 26 female directors participating in this year's Indian Film Festival of Melbourne. You're one of those. And there are obviously gender stereotypes as well. You know, it's a very male-dominated industry worldwide. Yeah. And to be different from all of those regular run-of-the-mill, how do you see yourself in the industry? Like, do you have an appetite going forward to make more movies or what's your plan?
Yeah, so obviously I want to be making more films. And I mean, I just wrote another script that's called Kyab. It's about the Tibetan refugees, the third generation Tibetan refugees in India. And it was at the Screenwriters Lab where I was being mentored by Claire Dobbin, who's from Melbourne as well. So it's quite exciting developing the script. Where I see myself in the industry, I really don't know, because, you know, when you create something, you just want to do your best. Sometimes you don't even know when you're writing a project, you don't even know if you're going to get funding for it or if anybody's ever going to allow you to make it. But the idea is that you want to be true to that story that you're trying to tell. And there's a reason why it has evoked such strong emotions in you that it made you want to, you know, create it or share it. So I think the idea is pretty much that. And it's insanely exhausting. You know, you end up giving 3 years of your life where you're sacrificing so much. So you can't be doing it when you're not motivated enough to tell that story or you're not overjoyed, like, you know, passionate enough to tell that story. So, yeah, you know, that's the plan. As long as I have stories to tell, I would just try to do my best writing them down and then we'll see where we get the funding from. As I told you, I think, you know, it's all about making a film or a good film. And then if it's a mainstream or an independent or an art or whatever, I think that's just what people try to box it into. But other than that, a film is a film. A story is a story. Sometimes it needs to be told in a way where it doesn't need music, where it doesn't need that kind of cast. And sometimes when you're trying to tell another kind of story, you need certain kind of music. You need a certain kind of star to be in it. So, you know, I just want to keep telling stories and then we'll see where we get the funding from.
Tell us something, take us back to your childhood. Remember the first movie you ever watched and understood it? Like, wow, that's something a very rare, a new experience for me. Like, what was the first movie that you actually remember watching?
So I'll tell you the first movie I remember watching in a theater. I was very small, I remember, and my grandmother and another grand, like, you know, my grandmother's friend, had taken me to the theater up here in Nainital, and we'd watched this film called Taal. And I have this image of Aishwarya Rai in a white anarkali just dancing in the rain. And the music of it, I think, you know, because Bollywood is so big on, like, the Hindi film industry is so big on music. I think not just that, just all like, I think even the South or the Indians are so big on music that it sticks with you, you know. If you are unable to, like, the music doesn't leave you even after the film has. And yeah, I have that memory of watching a film, but watching a film and really being like, oh my God, I want to, this is so exciting. I think that came much later, but I remember watching Dil Chahta Hai. And yeah, you know, this was a film I could just keep rewatching and rewatching and rewatching. So, you know,
so what is the ingredient, like, as a movie maker, as a director, as a writer, what do you think that hooks up the audience well for a movie?
I mean, obviously it might sound like a cliche, but drama does hook you, and in an exaggerated, I don't mean it, like, drama could be also very subtle, very nuanced, sometimes you couldn't notice it. But I'm sometimes very slow, and, you know, movies that wouldn't move are moving ahead. But there is drama in every film that, you know, doesn't want to make you leave. So, yeah, I think it is drama that, like, really draws you.
समाचार विचार र अस्ट्रेलियामा तपाईको समुदायका लागि महत्व राख्ने विषयमा जानकारी दिने यो हो SBS नेपाली SBS साउथ एशियनमा.
What's the take of your family? Like, what do they tell you? Like, is it something that they accept? Like, okay, you've done the movies and that's what you want to do, or they are like, can you do something more money making? ventures rather than making movie, or they're very supportive, or how's it like in the family?
I mean, initially there was a lot of apprehension, even though they themselves were filmmakers, but, you know, they wanted to keep me away from it very consciously. That's why I grew up with my grandmother. So when I told them that I want to make a film, they weren't very, like, my mother was more supportive, but they were more scared for me because they knew that this was such a challenging field and it was so uncertain and there was no stability whatsoever. So they were really terrified. I think they didn't want me to plunge into it, but I did anyways. But I think after watching Bahadur, that they were more relaxed. They knew that I knew what I was doing, so I could, like, figure out something here. So, you know, post Bahadur that changed a little, but before that they were, like, extremely terrified.
And what do your friends tell? Language is very colorful in the movie as well. It's very, as I said, it's very male oriented kind of story. And then the way you tell the story, the cinematography is very different as well. It's very, did you have that vision before starting the movie, or did you improvise it throughout? And at any point of filming it, did you feel any kind of, not scared, but then probably a bit apprehensive about the whole area you were shooting in, as you said, in shanty towns?
Yeah, so, like, I'll answer the second part. There were a lot of apprehensions. I mean, when I was making the film, I remember, and even though we were doing a very male-oriented film with everybody on screen being mostly males, but behind the screen it was all of us females, you know. My DOP is Mo, and Komal, my costume stylist, or my first AD, Nagma. So, you know, behind the scenes we were very female oriented, but we had our apprehensions, you know, like I told you, like getting shooting permissions, shooting in the border, which got cancelled at the last moment. And I mean, I had thought that it's going to be easier shooting in my town, but Nainital is a very popular spot for, you know, shooting, and a lot of big budget mainstream films come here for shooting web series. they are being shot here. So nobody is ready to believe that you don't have enough money to shoot a film, that you're shooting a short budget, like independent film. So nobody would do anything for you because they're used to being fed a lot of money. And, you know, they're just used to a certain kind of shooting that they've seen here. And it has increased ever since COVID pandemic hit. So that is very difficult, that part of getting the shooting figured, the production bit of it. And, you know, like I told you, the financial constraints also make it sometimes very, very uneasy. Yeah, so it wasn't as smooth as I had thought that, you know, it's my hometown, I'd like have it really easy. I mean, obviously there were advantages, but yeah, it was tough too.
So the big question, would you like to be the part of the mainstream Indian movie or the Bollywood, as we popularly in pop culture refer to as? Any plans going further, or will you be happy being an independent filmmaker, doing, you know, really good arty movies like this one? Or do you think there is a space for you that you can really make a mark in coming years?
You know, I'll tell you, I'll be very honest about it. It's, I think every story demands a certain kind of treatment. And it's not you deciding what kind of director, what kind of industry you want to be a part of. It's the stories, the story demands certain things. You try to fulfill those demands. And once it's made, then it's categorized as a mainstream film or like an independent film or an artsy film. But I think a film is a film. A good film these days could be a mainstream hit, could be all over the world, and could also be appreciated by critics, by festivals. So there are no limitations as such, but I am very much... I really like Alfonso Cuarón. Like, he made Vai Tu Mama Tambi, and then he made Roma, he made Gravity, and he made films, and every film is so distinct, it's so unique. So when you see Vai Tu Mama Tambi, and you're like, you know, were you trying to make something independent, something in Mexico? And then with his another film, he's, you know, making this film with these stars, which is a big budget film, it's a huge mainstream hit. So I don't think that, you know, for me, it's always about the story first and what kind of budget it demands, what kind of people it wants to attract, you know, what kind of stars does it need, an actor or a non-actor. And I think it differs from one story to another. But yeah, committed to authentic story, you know, filmmaking, storytelling, which I believe in. Yeah, that's it.
And what's the advice for young filmmakers, like, who'd have probably the similar upbringings to yourself, or would have some interest in movie making, or, you know, would have gone to a cinema and say, maybe I should do. And now everybody is a cinematographer or the movie maker with their mobile phones, being capable of shooting really good videos as well, right? So what are the things for young budding cinema makers or people who think they can make a good movie?
Work on the writing. Like, if you want to be making a film, writing is the first blueprint of what it's going to be like. And sometimes we're too quick to shoot a film. But writing is a very strong tool to be making the film eventually. And the more you work on it, the more it'll give you back, basically. And don't have apprehensions, you know, just go out there and shoot it. Once you're sure you want to do it, just shoot it for the experience of it, because that's how you get better at it. There's no theory, it's just a practical knowledge. And like I think Gulzar Sahib used to say, kar ki vidya hai kar ke aayegi. So, you know, you have to do it. That's the only way you can learn it. And yeah, sometimes you meet film school graduates and you're like, you know, you get intimidated by all of that, because, you know, they're like, this is the kind of cinema and that is the kind of cinema. But I think we shouldn't be caught up in all of that, you know. You should just do the work that is required, just do the writing that is required, don't procrastinate, do as much as you can, and then go out there and shoot it, even though it's very low budget, but do it.
SBS South Asian.
र भर्खरै सुन्नुभयो अगस्त 15 देखि मेलबर्नमा चलिरहेको भारतीय चलचित्र महोत्सव इन्डियन फिल्म फेस्टिभल अफ मेलबर्न आईएफएफएमको 15 संस्करणमा समावेश भएको नेपाली भाषामा निर्मित बहादुर द ब्रेभ कि निर्देशक दिवा शाहसँग सहकर्मी आभास पराजुलीले गर्नुभएको कुराकानी एसबीएस नेपालीमा. इन्डियन फिल्म फेस्टिभल अफ मेलबर्न 2024 बारे थप जान्न iffm.com.au जानुहोस् र भर्खरै प्रस्तुत कुराकानी जस्तै थप रोचक सामग्रीहरूका लागि चाहिँ हाम्रो वेबसाइट sbs.com.au/nepali वा फेसबुक एक्स र इन्स्टाग्राममा @sbsnepali अनि युट्युबमा @sbssouthasian भनेर खोज्नुहोस्। केही सल्लाह सुझाव र प्रश्न भए हामीलाई इमेल पनि पठाउन सक्नुहुन्छ। ठेगाना हो nepali.program@sbs.com.au।
अनलाइन र सोसियलमा थप सामग्रीहरू पाउनुहोस्। sbs.com.au/nepalima जानुहोस् वा फेसबुकमा SBS नेपालीलाई फलो गर्नुहोस्।
लाइक, शेयर र कमेन्ट गर्नुहोस्। SBS नेपालीलाई फेसबुकमा साथ दिनुहोस्।